Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Institute for Personal Development, where total consciousness is the new frontier. Kriya Yoga is the union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices that initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Choi, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Well, good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing all right today. How about you?
I'm doing great, thanks, and I hope our listeners are doing well. Well, thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we will talk about Memorial Day by honoring those who have transitioned by sacrificing themselves for the greater whole. We will discuss topics like selfless service and universal order. Why do we have war? Is it possible to have peace on earth? And if so, how can we make it happen? Swami will show how Kriya Yoga can be used to resolve all inner conflicts that will serve as the origins of a new global condition of harmony. So, Swami, I did a little bit of research on Memorial Day, and the official birthplace of Memorial Day is actually Waterloo, New York. And they actually first celebrated that holiday on May 5th, 1866. And Memorial Day originally honored the military personnel that fought in the Civil War, and that was between 1861 to 1865. And believe it or not, 620,000 Americans actually died in that Civil War, making it the most deadliest war in our history. So having prefaced with that information, let's answer that question. Why do we have war?
Yeah, part of it is what we call the nature of the beast. You know, that the physical world, the manifested world, things manifest in half, and then they produce a complementary unmanifested other part. So you can't have war without a complementary unmanifested peace, and you can't have peace without a complementary unmanifested war. And so the pendulum keeps swinging back and forth, kind of a thing. And part of it is trying to recognize how humanity can maintain this balance point where we're neither manifesting war nor necessarily polarizing on peace, kind of a condition, mm-hmm. If that helps at all.
You know, I think it does somewhat. But isn't it our individual responsibility to try to always find peace in everything that we do?
Yeah, personal accountability, personal responsibility is an important variable. And one of the things that we always talk about in Kriya Yoga are levels of consciousness and degrees of awareness, that oftentimes you can be doing the exact same thing at a different level of consciousness and a different degree of awareness. The whole concept of being able to maintain that sense of peace or tranquility in the eye of the storm. So in other words, to actually be peaceful on the battlefield is a possibility. To be able to maintain that position of harmony, inner tranquility, and still be in the throes of real-life circumstances and situations. That's one of the reasons why I think the Bhagavad Gita is written and it originates, it takes place on a battlefield. And part of the interpretation of that is that we are in the realms of suffering and decay. Our lives, everybody here, we are fighting a hard battle. And for a lot of us, it's more of an internal struggle than it is an external struggle. At least that's, for the most part, what we experience here in America. We are so fortunate to be in the environment that we are in comparison to some places on the planet today.
And, you know, I always live with that attitude of gratitude that I happen to have been born in this incarnation in this particular country. Having been to other places where, you know, people are walking around, there are soldiers with, you know, machine guns, and you just have this, you just feel this underlying energy of fear, if you will. And that can be disconcerting for a person who's really trying to become something different, trying to become whole.
Well, there again, that's what we're talking about, the nature of the beast. There's an old saying, stand in fear and you stand to lose. See, right now, most of us are drawing from the earth. We're drawing from particles. We're drawing from the dimension of reality that produces fear. And a big part of being able to get out of that, to transcend those limitations, requires us to attach ourselves to something other than fear and limitation, to attach ourselves to a part of reality that is unchanging and permanent. And that is what Kriya Yoga basically is designed to do, is educate a person how to find this invisible, intangible source of sustenance that will produce this constant in your inner environment. It won't negate what's going on in your outside world, and it certainly won't eliminate all your necessary fears, but it will make them smaller and way more manageable.
That makes perfect sense. Thank you for that explanation. But can we get back? I want to talk about what the soldiers, what they have to struggle with. So you had mentioned the Bhagavad Gita, and the Bhagavad Gita is a 700-verse Hindu scripture, and I had found out that Bhagavad Gita means Song of the Lord. So I was reading that, and the character, main character in the Bhagavad Gita is Prince Arjuna, and he is on the battlefield. That's like you were just saying earlier. And he has the chariot placed right in the middle of the battlefield between the two armies, and he's looking at both sides, and he recognizes friends and family. And then he's overcome with this overwhelming grief and sorrow that he has to fight, and realizes that he's in a situation where he's going to possibly lose his friends and relatives, and seeks advice from Krishna. And I wonder, that's probably what soldiers are going through, even though I'm sure they're trained to do what they're supposed to do, but in the back of their mind, our upbringing is that we don't hurt anybody, and here they have to carry guns and do these things that is really against our human nature.
Well, I don't know if it's necessarily against our human nature, but it certainly is against our divine nature. Because when you have this open, broader sense of awareness, and you recognize that the same soul that's animating me is animating you. And in fact, I think that's how Krishna addressed Arjuna's concerns on the battlefield, was that, I'm paraphrasing it because I never really memorized the Bhagavad Gita, but something to the effect that on a spirit level, nobody's born and nobody dies. That on this spirit level, we're all one. But it's like we do in our Kriya Yoga practice. We use the term namaste. We're all equally divine, but we may not be all equally sensitive or aware of our divinity. Again, it comes back to the variable of what's my level of consciousness, what's my degree of awareness. And a big part, say, for example, of like martial arts, you know, which to me was always been a way of training people in how to operate in the absence of fear or anger, to rise above instinct, appetite, preservation, and survival. So to be able to neutralize the situation without the emotionality, without the fear, without the anger. The term I think that can also be applied is in just modern day usefulness, it's kind of like the athlete or the performer in the flow state, when you're in your zone, is some of the language that we use to kind of identify with this shift in consciousness, that you are not motivated by fear or anger. You're not driven from the lower realms of your body. Mm-hmm. Or even, say, for example, the equally low realm of our human nature, intelligence. But to be able to rise above instinct, appetite, preservation, and survival, to rise above your mental functions of perception, reason, memory, intuition, and to align yourself with this part of yourself that is eternal, is our optimal position of performance. And what better place to do that than on a battlefield, mm-hmm. where you are in a real life-threatening situation?
I think you described what a true warrior really is, and that is somebody who can fulfill their duty, you know, their dharma, and perform their tasks without any emotionality. I'm glad you had talked about that, because that was actually in some of my notes. And I had also have in my notes that Krishna says, "The wise mourn neither for the living nor the dead." I thought that was a real interesting thing, comes back to what you were just explaining. And in the Gita it says, "Never was a moment that these kings, nor you nor I, doesn't exist, nor will any of us cease to exist hereafter. Souls exist always. No one can destroy that immutable being."
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly it. But how many of us have achieved that level of consciousness, that degree of awareness? That's where the Kriya Yoga comes in. Mm-hmm. And again, it's not just a position that you assume. It's not just I've heard it on the radio show and now I've actualized this liberation, this enlightenment that they all talk about, that this is really physics. That you literally have to rebirth your body in that source of sustenance. You have to become divine. It's not an intellectualization, it's a realization. We literally have to transcend sensual perception. We have to transcend the limits of the rational mind. And we have to cultivate these spiritual capabilities. That's why we enlist so many different strategies. We have to refine ourselves physically and mentally in order to actually attune ourselves to this other source of sustenance.
Now, you have always said these three important words, and that is put God first. That's the basis of everything that we do in Kriya Yoga. Well, my question to you is, no matter what our duty is, if we perform whatever task that we have at hand and we put God in the forefront, then are we acting according to divine law and thus fulfilling our dharma, our duty?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's exactly what's happening. That you put God first, which, again, you know, I mean, that's a string of words that can mean anything to anybody. But in this model, it means that you have internalized this source of sustenance as the symbol that your body uses to validate itself. That matter and mind have now come together with this other source of sustenance. It initiates this progressive cycle that starts to turn the individual into a different entity. The term is called apotheosis, this process of the individual becoming divine. With this connection, the conscious mind opens. your identity transcends the limits of seeing yourself as a separate entity. See, one of the things that we're always saying is that humans in the adult state are virtuous by nature. It's not something that you're trying to do. It's now your DNA. That is your default automatic response in a situation. It's a very different thing than when we are doing good as when we be good. Right? But to put God first, again, what does that mean? What does that look like when I'm doing it? Because that is the most important part. In yoga, it's called brahmacharya, carrier of Brahman. That now, the term I always try and refer to is you prey on prana, P-R-E-Y. You use the life force as your new source of sustenance. But it has a different return. It produces different results. And now you have the benefit of what we call internal support. You're not drawing off the outside world. You're actually giving back. And coming back to the whole concept of, you know, why do we have war? You know, why do we have all of these conflicts? It's because most of us still see ourselves as separate entities. Mm-hmm. And most of us are competing for energy on this limited level. And it produces a return that can deteriorate into the nature of greed. You know, it's an insatiable craving. The minute you get what you want more. It's not enough. And so it produces, you know, these atrocities in our environment, such as war.
All right, well, I have a few more questions to ask you, but I think it is about that time where we need to hold that thought and pause to hear a word from our sponsors. But listeners, we will be back in a few moments.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudashyate.
If you are looking for a samadhi-based experience, IPD Kriya Yoga has the goods. A complete yoga program that includes the practices and the process. Starting with the separation from mother, including the labors and tasks of the hero and the return as a whole person. Practice makes perfect only when practice is whole. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. Samadhi, or total consciousness, is experienced by knowing and doing with devotion. Call or click now and get started. 603-929-0303 or www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste.
Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you are listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So, Swami, we were talking a while back about Dharma and duty, and I just want to make a point I have in my notes I had made a few days ago, that I was brought up and taught by my dad that no matter what it is that you do, no matter what occupation you decide to go into, whatever you decide to do to earn a living, you do the best you can every day at that job. And you find joy in what it is that you do, and you do the very best. So then I was reading the Bhagavad Gita again last night, and I came across these words, and it says, yoga is skill in action. So I guess if we approach what it is that we do for a living, and we do it with a sense of joy and purpose, our duty, our dharma that we were talking about before, then doesn't that change how we feel about maybe going into a job that we wouldn't normally have appreciated or enjoyed doing?
Well, to answer your question, I don't think it can be summed up in just your conduct. I really think that we have to understand that it's really going to, it's all going to be determined by what energy field I draw from. You know, it's like one of the things I always remember C.S. Lewis had said, perfect love, we know, casts out fear. But so do several other things: ignorance, alcohol, passion, presumption, and stupidity. It is very desirable that we should all advance to that perfection of love in which we shall fear no longer. But it is very undesirable, until we have reached that stage, that we should allow any inferior agent to cast out fear. So sometimes if we're just using I'm happy or I'm not afraid as the barometer, it's not necessarily always going to give you the correct answer. The whole thing of achieving this state of perfect love, purna, the state of wholeness, the state of union of the individual with this energy field, is the one thing that will give us this expanded sense of self. Because you can get a tremendous amount of happiness, a sense of accomplishment from working in the physical world. Mm-hmm. And doing, you know, like most of us do, we try and be rewarded for our conduct as opposed to perform our dharma. And it's a very subtle but very distinct difference. One, you're still looking, you have some expectation for return. It's the whole thing that we talked about, the difference between selfless service that's in accordance with universal order, as opposed to doing good deeds in hopes of getting rewarded for what you do. Does that help?
You know what? It does. I guess I was thinking that if yoga is skill in action, and we have talked before about, you know, this procedure of aposteosis is, it's a procedure and it's a process. So because we are living in this particular dimension, this world, in the physical world, we can still put yoga in action in everything that we do, including whatever our occupation is, right? So I guess that's kind of like where I was thinking. And if we do the best job that we can at that job that we have right now, then there is something to be said for that being yoga, using that skill in action.
Well, yeah, that's exactly what we said earlier. It's not so much what you're doing, it's your level of consciousness, your degree of awareness, which will determine, are you optimizing your performance? It's all kind of come down to, what energy field do I draw from? Am I drawing from the outside world? Am I drawing from particles? Am I drawing from waves, or am I drawing from this indivisible unified field? Mm-hmm. And when your whole sense of self is totally established based on that energy field, then of course your performance is selfless. You're able to give out without any need for any return. And it doesn't matter what you're doing. You know, whether you are at work, whether you are on a battlefield or you're just at a baseball game, that the biggest variable is going to be my level of consciousness, my degree of awareness, if that answers your question.
You know, it does, and I'm glad you had spoken about the expectations and results, because isn't that how we prevent the karmic wheel is we should be approaching every situation, everything that we do, without an expectation of results. Because isn't it the want of those results that that keeps us on that karmic path, that karmic wheel?
Yeah, it's desire. Desire is, if you study Buddhism, there's only two times in your life when you will ever suffer. If you don't get what you want, or you're exposed to what you don't want to be exposed to. See, personal desire is the origins of all suffering. Now, one of the biggest misconceptions I found in the Buddhist community was people were trying to stop desire. Well, physics tells us that matter can't be created nor destroyed, only changed. You can't get rid of desire. But what we can do is desire the void or the nothing. We can desire this other energy field, which again produces a different return. And then, of course, once we have internalized nothing as your symbol for validation, then you no longer are on that cycle of death and rebirth. That's what produces what they call liberation in yoga, or even in other religions it's referred to as salvation.
Well, before we end this program, I do want to just take a moment to thank our military personnel and our armed forces, or the men and women that have decided to walk that path and serve their country and do their dharma or their duty to protect our freedoms. And I don't know if words could actually express how appreciative and thankful we should all be for them.
Oh, absolutely. I totally agree with you. In fact, when I think that show that we did on Veterans Day might have been, you know, when we talked about just how Herculean it must be for somebody who doesn't have the benefit of internal support to be in such a life-threatening situation without the skill, without the tools to be able to manage that adequately, you know, to use technique. Just like you said, yoga is all about skillful, you know, use of action. That you have things that you can and you must do in order to sustain this level of consciousness, this degree of awareness. And to have those people exposed to that type of environment without the benefit of good leadership. So you can just imagine just how much more difficult it is for them. And like you said, I'm the utmost appreciation for, you know, what they've done to uphold our standard of living.
Yeah, that was a great call out. Thank you, Swami, for that. But I think I have to start closing down the show, another fast one, it seems. So, listeners out there, don't forget, visit the website. You can follow Swami on Pinterest and Twitter, Facebook, whatever social media kind of grabs you. There's so much out there. But also available to the listeners are the online classes you can access through the website, ipdtransform.com. Just click on the link for online classes. It will direct you to Powwow. You can make your selections from there. But continue, please, to, you know, submit your comments and questions and curiosities, because Swami does enjoy hearing from you. And be sure to tune in next week. We will be discussing the movie God's Not Dead. We had mentioned it last week. You can watch this movie from Netflix streaming to help prepare for that show. I think that's going to be a very interesting program. So, Swami, any final thoughts or comments about our discussion today?
Well, I would like to thank all of those that have served and supported our freedoms and principles. And I would also like to say that in order to maintain peace on Earth, refer to the Chinese proverb, light in the soul, beauty in the person. Beauty in the person, harmony in the home, harmony in the home, honor in the nation, peace in the world. And with that, I'll wish everybody a good day. Namaste.
And thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton along with Swami Jayananda signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.